It is great to see everyone here. We do have several visitors in the audience, and for that we are especially thankful. Glad that you've come to be with us. Appreciate you making the decision to be here. And Lord willing, our time together will be profitable, beneficial for one and all. As we leave here, the goal of this lesson this morning and our service together and our worshiping together is to make us better, to prepare us for the world that we face each and every day. And if that is accomplished, then we have been successful in our attempt to encourage and edify one another. In this morning's lesson, we're going to be making the statement. I'm not even going to ask the question this morning. I just want to make it boldly and confidently. It pays to serve the Lord. There is no question about that in my mind. None whatsoever. And if you are not one this morning who is actively in your life serving the Lord, then we hope that you will seriously consider the things that we're going to talk about so that you will be in an area of service to God, that you will serve Him as He would have you to. You know, this morning we've come together and we've partaken of the Lord's Supper, as Acts 20 and verse 7 says. We have given of our means, 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2 says. We're about to present a lesson from God's Word. Acts 20 and verse 7, the Apostle Paul preached to those in Troas. So we're going to do that this morning. We're going to present the gospel and we're going to study together. We're going to pray as we already have, and we're going to pray again after a while. We're going to sing Ephesians 5, 19, Colossians 3, 16. We're trying to do what the Lord would have us to do. We want to serve Him in His way, in accordance with His revealed will. And we hope that that is your goal as well. Of course, our service to the Lord doesn't begin nor end with what we do here. Our service to the Lord is an everyday effort. And we need to be busy serving Him. I want you to turn with me to Malachi chapter 3 and verses 13 through 18. And again, as Rusty read a few moments ago, we're going to look at this text. And I want you again to follow along and think about what Malachi the prophet is saying to the people of Israel and saying to us in this text. Beginning in verse 13, Malachi chapter 3. "Your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept His ordinance and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the proud blessed. For those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before Him. For those who fear the Lord and who meditate on His name, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. On the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son and serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve Him." I hope that you're here this morning serving God, because there are many who do not believe that it pays to serve the Lord. And I tell you something else that we want to get from this text this morning as we study through this again. The Lord is interested in us having one another. He's given us each other, that we may speak to one another and be encouraged by each other. And know this, too, that when we speak regarding God and we speak regarding the things that He has provided for us and we serve Him, God hears us. And something else we learn from this text, that when we serve the Lord, God will remember our service to Him. He's not going to forget what we've done. And something else, that when we serve God, we are precious in His sight. We are being turned in through the process of serving the Lord. We're being turned into jewels for Him. And, of course, the ultimate thing is we're saved. We are saved. We are made free from this world of torment and disappointment and care and trial, temptation. And that we are delivered from those things, and that we are forgiven of our sins and given the hope of heaven, and eventually we will obtain that goal and be with the Lord for all eternity. Some do think that it does not pay to serve the Lord. They, in fact, think it pays better not to serve Him. "Again, your words have been harsh against me." And, of course, by the way, Malachi is writing to the Israelites after they'd returned from bondage, from Babylon. And they were worshiping God. I mean, they were offering sacrifice. Remember earlier in the text, do not rob God. Verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed him, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. And something else too that they had done in chapter 3, earlier even further, they offered sacrifices to the Lord, but they were offering their leftovers. They were not giving the Lord their best. They were serving God in their mind, but they were not serving God in God's mind. They were serving God according to the dictates of their own heart. We must serve the Lord His way. But these same people, He says, your words have been harsh against me. And it says the Lord, you say, what have we spoken against you? They thought they were okay in God's sight. They thought they were serving Him. You have said it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept His ordinance and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? In other words, we shouldn't try too hard to do these things that the Lord has said. We hear that a lot today in the religious world, don't we? There's no big deal in serving the Lord and obeying God. It's not important to serve the Lord. What profit is it, in fact, to serve the Lord? So now we call the proud blessed. Those who are lifted up, we recognize, you know what, they benefit in life. And those who do wickedness are raised up. They receive places and positions of power and authority. They even tempt God and go free. They talk about God in a negative way. They disdain Him and they are yet made free. And they are blessed. So it pays more to serve, or not to serve God, than it does to serve God many things. But of course, that's not the truth. In Psalms chapter 73 and verse 12, behold, these are the ungodly who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Now, we're talking about material riches. And certainly the greedy, the avaricious, they will increase in riches. They will increase in material things from time to time. That's not a general, I mean, that's not a rule of reality sometimes, but we do know that it rains on the just and on the unjust, and even the unjust will increase in these things. And we have a couple of examples, though, in the New Testament that demonstrates the folly of such thinking. In Luke, the 12th chapter, in verses 13 through 21, we have the example of the rich fool. This man was very fruitful in that he had a great crop. And in fact, it was so great, he did not have room to store all of his fruits. So he decided that what he would do, he'd tear down his barns and he'd build bigger barns. And he kept talking throughout the text in Luke chapter 12 of what I have accomplished and what I have done and what I will do. In verse 17, and he thought in himself saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will all these things be that you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You may be blessed in material things, but that does not make you rich. That does not make you rich at all. Friend, we need to make sure that as we serve the Lord, we're serving Him according with His will. We need to make sure, though, first and foremost, that we are serving God. The rich fool did not. He laid up treasure on the earth. Again, another example is found in Luke 16, verses 19 through 25, the rich man and Lazarus. You have a rich man who fared sumptuously every day. But the time came, as it will for all men. He died. And the Scripture says that he lifted up his eyes in torment. Verses 22 and 23. And then being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Friend, the time of mercy is gone after death. And he goes going on down. And he was wanting Abraham to send Lazarus back to his family so that they would not come to this terrible place. You know, it's interesting what Moses said to him. They have, Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. We must hear the Lord. And not only that, of course, he was told that, remember, in your lifetime you received good things and Lazarus evil things. Just because you receive good things in this life does not mean, and I wish we could understand this principle, this point, just because we are experiencing good things in life does not mean that God is with us. It could mean just the opposite. It could mean that we're serving Satan, and Satan is the one doing the rewarding. But we need to remember that principle. People think because everything's going swell in life that that's God. Not necessarily. It wasn't so with Lazarus. It wasn't so with the rich man. We need to remember that principle, and it does not pay not to serve the Lord. In fact, it only pays to serve the Lord, and that's what we're now going to focus our attention on. Those who fear the Lord spoke to one another. Now let's talk about some things that pay from serving the Lord. Number one, we have one another to draw strength from, to associate with. We are family. Those of us who fear the Lord and serve the Lord, we are family together, as Matthew 19, verse 29 says. We serve the Lord together. We are to be associated with one another. Verse 29 says, everyone who has left houses and brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold and inherit eternal life. In fact, Mark 10 and verse 30 adds this, now in this time. So we benefit from being associated with each other. We encourage each other. We edify each other. Worshiping together provides such opportunity. We worship God and we're reminded constantly on a regular basis as we serve and worship God together of God's love, His mercy, His grace, His care for us, and our concern for one another. We're exhorted to follow the Lord and encouraged, and we help each other along in that regard. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them, Matthew chapter 18, verse 20 says. And in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We need to be busy exhorting and encouraging each other, edifying each other, provoking one another to love and good works. We need one another to do that. And of course, serving God together produces strong relationships. Yes, we are a family and we get close together. We should get close together. In Acts chapter 4, verses 31 through 33, those who had little lacked nothing. It was provided by members of the church. Every need was cared for. Why? Because they were concerned about each other. They cared for one another. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, we are to prefer one another. We are to love one another. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 21 through 23, we have an example, I think, a good example. It says in verse 21, but that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that we may comfort your hearts, peace to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Apostle Paul was deeply concerned about those whom he was associated, members of the body of Christ. And we ought to be as well. And we become close. And there's a love, a bond that grows between us, or should be. And the more that we care for each other, of course, the more natural taking care and encouraging and helping each other will become. How we need to love one another and be involved in this family atmosphere. Be a part of the family and do what we need to do. But those who serve God, we have one another. What about those who do not serve God? They don't have this wonderful blessing. They don't have this fellowship that we experience, that we enjoy. And I said, in fact, a few weeks ago at my mother's funeral, I made the observation, after all the outpouring of love had fallen our way as a family and upon me and my father, now I made the observation how tragic and how terrible it must be not to have a family like I have. To go through, and I was watching my sister during the visitation that night. She was over alone by herself. How terrible it must be separated from the family of God. We have one another. What a wonderful blessing that is. And something else he says in verse 16, "And the Lord listened and heard them." The Lord hears us when we come together, when we worship and we serve Him and we praise Him. The Lord hears us. The Lord hears our desires, our needs, our concerns. The Scripture says in Psalms 34 and verse 15, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and His ears are open to their cry." The Lord hears us. If anyone is a worshiper of God and does His will, He hears Him. John 9 and verse 31. Now, the first part of John 9, 31 says, "For we know that God heareth not sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does His will, He hears Him." In Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, God, friend, is able to save. You know, our salvation is not a lack of God's love. It's not a lack of God's concern. It's not a lack of what God has provided. If we are lost, if we are separated from God, it's because of our own sin, it's our own neglect, it's because of our own choices. In Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated from you from God, and your sins have hidden His face from you, so that He will not hear." What must you do then? You must turn away from your sin. You must repent of your sin and turn back to God. We are told, by the way, as children of God in 1 John 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And if we are not children of God today, if we're not in Christ Jesus, then what we need to do is repent of our sins and by faith confess Jesus Christ before men and be buried with Him in baptism and become a child of God, that we may be raised to walk in that newness of life, that we may have the hope and the blessings that come through Christ. It pays to serve God, friend. Those who serve God are heard by God. Are you serving the Lord? Those who serve God are remembered by the Lord. You know, the Lord has a very good memory. He remembers everything that you do. Everything that you do, He knows. You can't hide anything from Him. In verse 16, "So a book of remembrance was written before Him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on His name." There is a record kept of our service to God, and He remembers and He will repay. As Hebrews 6 and verse 10 says, "God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love." He's going to remember what you do for Him and your service to Him. There's no question. In fact, if God did forget those things, He would be unjust, but we know God is not unjust. God is just, He is fair, and He will reward us for our service to Him. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, "God will never leave us nor forsake us." There's no question about that. God's always going to be there for us if we serve Him. If we serve Him. It pays to serve the Lord. If we do not serve the Lord, friend, I tell you what, God is not with us. But if we serve the Lord, He will never leave us nor forsake us. No question about that. We can forsake Him. We can leave Him. But He will not leave or forsake us as long as we serve Him. In fact, as Mark 9:41 talks about a cup of water, even the smallest of things, Jesus says, you will not lose your reward. Even the smallest of things. We need to serve the Lord. We need to be diligent in serving Him. "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work." Revelation 22 and verse 12. Those who serve God, of course, know this, don't we? We understand this. In Colossians 3 and verse 23, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality." Friend, let's get that. Let's grasp that concept. There is no partiality with God. Don't think for a second that you're going to stand before the Lord on the day of judgment having not served Him. And the Lord says, "Oh, that's okay. You can come on into heaven anyway." That's not going to happen. Now, I'll tell you why that's not going to happen. That would make God unjust. That would make God unjust. And secondly, it's going to go against His will. The Lord will repay those who do evil, those who do not serve Him. He'll repay them too in hell. But what about those who serve the Lord? We will receive the reward of the inheritance which He's promised to us. And God's not going to go back on His word. And it's interesting in Colossians 3 and verse 23, "knowing that from the Lord you will receive." We know this. And that's why we live like we do. That's why we serve the Lord like we do. That's exactly what verse 16 says at the beginning of it. Those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. They're encouraging each other to remember these things. It pays to serve the Lord. In verse 17, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels. You know, we have been purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Those who are in Christ have been washed in the blood. What a great sacrifice that was. You know, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Do we truly recognize the significance of that great sacrifice? God gave a lot for us. We've been purchased with that precious blood. And those who serve the Lord are indeed special to Him, since we are being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, Romans 8 and verse 29, we are being conformed into the image of the Son of His love. There's no question about that. That was God's predetermination, that we become like His Son. We are a chosen people, a special people. And God loves us. And those who are God's purchased possession are guaranteed an inheritance. There's no question about that. Again, God has promised it. God will fulfill His promise. He's not unjust. He's going to give us what He has promised. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 through 14. In fact, as we talked about in our Bible study this morning, this text in Ephesians chapter 1 enumerates many spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. But it says in verse 13, in Him you also trusted after you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. Friend, I tell you, if we serve the Lord, we are guaranteed. We are guaranteed that glory that's to come. We are guaranteed the redemption. That is, in the final analysis, at the last day, we will receive our reward. And yes, those of us who are serving the Lord, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. That is, we are marked or we are identified. We are identified by our service, by our works. We are identified by serving the Lord through the inspired words of the Holy Spirit. And we are sealed. That is, we are identified. That's what the word means there. And we are guaranteed as long as we serve the Lord. Of course, we understand this is conditional. We can decide not to serve the Lord once we've begun. But we must never turn our back on Him, because, friend, again, it pays to serve the Lord. And we are precious to Him. On the day that I made them my jewels, we are like jewels to the Lord, precious before Him. And something else. He says that those who serve the Lord are saved. In verse 17, latter part of that verse, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve Him. God will spare His own special people, us, if we're serving the Lord. You know, we are saved in the sense that we have been forgiven of our past sins if we're in Christ. Those who are in Christ are free from their past sins. We've been baptized into Christ, having our sins washed away in the blood of Christ. We have been saved. Mark 16, 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. In Acts 2 and verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The wonderful blessings of the Spirit. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, baptism doth also now save us, not putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. 1 John 1 and verse 9, those who are Christians, those of us who have been baptized into Christ. What if we sin after we have obeyed the gospel? Well, we're told in 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. We are saved through the blood of Christ, through the forgiveness of our sins, through receiving the forgiveness of our sins. And so we stand in a right relationship with God. And He will save us. He will spare us as He spares His own Son. We are saved eternally when we receive the inherited promise, if we continue to serve the Lord and we are faithful to Him. So many passages speak of this inheritance. In fact, we've already looked at Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 through 24. But there's an interesting statement there. The Lord, or knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. There are several times that our reward of heaven is spoken of as an inheritance, something that God is giving us. I watched a very good movie. In fact, John Scuderi, the station manager at KAY, brought me a movie the other day and asked me to watch it, and I watched it. Very good. The name of the movie was The Ultimate Gift. And it was about this very, very rich man who died and left his will behind, of course, to divide his inheritance among his children and his grandchildren. And all of his children were a bunch of skunks, scoundrels, snakes. They were pathetic people. And he left them a little bit. But his grandson, of course, who was also rather wild, he left him a list of conditions that if he met these conditions, he would receive an unnamed amount of inheritance. And he called it his ultimate gift. And the things that he had to do, like, he had to go on a cattle farm and he had to work for a month on a cattle farm. Had to set fence posts and some other chores. And he had to work hard. And he learned what it meant to work hard. And then he had to learn the value of money. He had everything taken away from him. He learned what it was like to be homeless. And he learned the value of family. And he learned as the gifts went on, that he had to do certain things and he had to function certain ways. He had to come back to a board of trustees at one point and bring a true friend with him. Those kinds of things. And by the end of the series of gifts, or conditions that were to be met, this individual was a changed person. He was a different person than when he started. He had learned a lot of valuable lessons that he had never learned before. He learned the value of living life. He learned the value of serving others. He learned the value of helping others. He learned the value of thinking about others instead of himself through this series of gifts. And you know what? I got to thinking, there are a couple of lessons that are true in that story that fit the gospel. You know, salvation is conditional. And he received inheritance. At the end, by the way, he received $3 billion. But that wasn't even important to him at that time because he had learned the valuable lessons of helping others and serving others, and he put every bit of his money to use in beneficial charitable organizations and doing things that were helping other people. He had learned some great lessons. Well, you know, during the process of meeting the conditions that God set forth for us, they're not just arbitrary conditions that God's thrown out there and says, do this, jump through this hoop, go through this ring, run around this circle, and then I'll bless you. There's more to it than that. You know, every condition that God's given to us has a purpose behind it. It changes us in some way. For example, our faith that we are commanded to have. Faith is a choice. Faith is something that we are to do in compliance with God's will. Faith is a condition. And we must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I tell you what, that changes our conviction. It changes the way that we live. That very point right there changes how we live our life because we believe in Christ and we trust Him. And the idea of repenting, turning away from sin, there's more to it than just saying, I'm not going to sin anymore. It's a change of mind that results in a change of life. That's what repentance is. And the idea of turning away from those sins that we have committed and serving the Lord is what repentance is all about. And confessing, that is a change of our allegiance. We have now confessed that we're going to serve the Lord. And our baptism, that's becoming associated with Christ, being buried with Christ, a change of our relationship. It changes who we are. There's more to it than just going down into some water and coming. There's a purpose behind it. God commanded it. And there's a purpose that God commanded it. That in that act, as Colossians 2, verse 11 and 12, He cuts away the sins of the flesh. And as Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 6 says, we're raised to walk in newness of life. We are a new creature. And we know that, those of us who do that in obedience to God's will. But we know that when we serve the Lord, that we will receive the reward of our inheritance. The Lord will bless us. And it's conditional. In John 14, verses 1 through 4, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. How do they know the way? Jesus revealed it. Jesus has revealed the way to us as well. We can know the way. And in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, you know, those who serve the Lord will reward us. If we are faithful to Him, we will receive the crown of life. The crown of life. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Also James 1:12, 1 Peter 5:4, we will receive that crown of life if we're faithful to the Lord. The crown of life, the crown of our inheritance. Are you serving the Lord? You see, it pays to serve the Lord, friend. Let's go back in our lesson just a minute and think about the rich man and Lazarus again, and think about that rich fool. You know, they didn't serve the Lord. And when they reached the end of the road, when they were to stand before God, I tell you what, they could be classified as the ultimate loser. And I tell you, friend, anyone here this morning that is not serving the Lord, if you continue down that path and you get to the end of the road and you stand before the Lord, you too will be an ultimate loser. It pays to serve the Lord. And I tell you what, the reward for not serving Him is dreadful indeed. Some think it pays better not to serve God, as we've seen. But those who serve the Lord, we have one another. We're blessed with that. We are heard by God. What a wonderful blessing that is to know that God hears our prayers, that we have access to God, that we are remembered by God. He knows our works. He knows what we do. He knows our service, and He will reward us according to our works. And we are precious in God's sight. Those who serve Him, we are precious to Him. He protects us. He encourages us, comforts us. And of course, in the end, He saves us. What wonderful blessings. Friend, it pays to serve God. Is there any question about that? You know, the Lord remembers those who serve Him. The Lord values those who serve Him. And the Lord blesses those who serve Him. But the question is, are you serving the Lord? That's the question. The question is not, have you once obeyed the gospel? That's not the question. The question is not, have you at one time in the past believed that Jesus is the Son of God? That's not the question. The question is not even, do you attend services on a regular basis? That in and of itself does not mean that you serve God as you should. Again, serving God is not just a three-time-a-week ordeal. Serving God is everyday life. The question is, are you serving God each and every day? Are you putting the Lord first in your life? Are you doing the things that will strengthen your relationship with Him and strengthen your relationship with your fellow brethren? I want to close with one final passage in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, beginning. Then Jesus said to His disciples, if anyone desires to come after Me, that is, serve Him, follow Him, let him deny himself and take up his cross, follow Me. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be difficult, in fact. It's going to be challenging. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for My sake shall find it. That is, if you put material things first, if you seek in this life to be successful, if you think that this is where everything needs to be, you know, the recipient of being, or you being the recipient of rewards here, then friend, I tell you, you're going to lose your life. You're going to lose it all. As He says then in verse 26, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, I know folks who have exchanged their soul for drugs and for immorality and for money, possessions, for power. I know people who have exchanged their soul for an adulterous affair and relationship. I know people who have exchanged their soul for drugs and alcohol. You probably do too. And what a shame that is. What would you give in exchange for your soul? A few moments of pleasure? What will you give in exchange for your soul? Some money? Some power? What will you do to gain the most precious gift available? Will you serve the Lord? Friend, it pays to serve God. What profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world? You can have it all, friend. $3 billion is a lot of money. Like that young man eventually inherited. But $3 billion doesn't touch the hem of the garment as far as the world could pile upon you. You know, if we had the whole world and we lost our soul, what would we be called? What about that rich man? What did the Lord say about him? You fool. You fool. We could have it all here. But if you lose it all in eternity, friend, you've lost it all. You've lost it all. It pays to serve the Lord. And if you don't think that it pays to serve the Lord, like these people that Malachi is talking to in our text, you are an ultimate fool. I didn't call you that. God did. And God's right. It pays to serve the Lord. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've never named the name of Christ before men. You've never turned away from your sin by faith and baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. You've never done those things. Well, friend, why not? It's time to serve the Lord. It pays. Maybe you've done those things, but you're not serving the Lord like you should. You know, those people that Malachi wrote to, let's emphasize this point. They were the children of God. They were the people of Israel, God's chosen people. But what had they done? They had turned away from the Lord. They had rejected the Lord. They had ceased to follow Him in accordance with His required will. Now, maybe you have once obeyed the gospel, but you're not following Him. You're not serving Him like you should. What's going to happen when you get to the end of the road? You're going to hear, "Depart from me, workers of iniquity, lawlessness." Maybe you're an unprofitable servant. What did the Lord say in Matthew chapter 25 to the unprofitable servant? Cast him into the lake of fire. Listen, friend, it pays to serve God. And it pays terrible dividends not to. If you're here this morning and we can help you in your obedience to the gospel and anything that you need, our help in, won't you come as together we stand and sing the song that's been selected for your encouragement.